Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Ask me. Ask Eliza anything. It's time to ask. Ask me all your questions. Leave them in the Instagram comment section. Leave them on your Twitter or leave them on your Facebook. We'll see them. We'll read them. Then we'll give you answers. You know it. I've got it. I've got the answer. The answer. You ask me.
You know what nobody wants to hear about? What your animal is doing in the background. Like when you're on a Zoom or you're on a podcast, no one, I mean, even though I'm always like, oh, tiny dog, nobody wants to hear. Sorry, the dog's just like, she saw a squirrel. You're like, shut up. Like, I don't care. I can't see it. I'm not interested. I was on a Zoom the other day and someone's dog was barking. My dog has done that. You know, and you're just like, sorry, she's just going nuts. And you're like, anyways, if we could just finish the Zoom so I can kill myself.
Yeah. I mean, you're pretty respectful of that kind of thing. But Tianfu does go nuts if she hears a door. But what are you supposed to do about that?
Can I tell you something? We were walking her this morning because here's the rule. You want to walk Tianfu, she's sweet baby. If she sees another dog, she will lose her mind.
Yeah.
And this guy was walking. I don't know how he got this dog. It was like a hybrid Belgian Malinois pit bull. And it was like deep black with like piercing day glow blue eyes.
Oh.
And I was just like, it was like he went to the pet guy and he was like, what's the scariest looking animal I can walk whose eyes glow in the light? And it was like growling at her. And I was like, okay, maybe just we'll just stay on separate sides of the street because your eyes are fire ice.
The dog, I'm sure, was like perfectly fine, right?
The dog was also losing its mind, but she started. Also, you can't take pauses that long. This isn't NPR. Like, this isn't Radio Lab. One of my biggest pet peeves about listening to that kind of stuff is just like, they always ask these like questions that like aren't that funny. It's like, and so what was the dog's response? I mean, was she like, hi, I'm a dog? You never listen to any of those kinds of shows?
No, but I do. It must have been recently someone messaged us and was like, do you speed up the sound and like cut out pauses? I was like, no, we just neither of us pause or ever stop talking.
Nobody wants to hear that. Like some people already listen to pods at like 2x, but like nobody wants to hear your interrogative pause. Like, and so, I mean, what did you do? I have stop great interviews right in the middle because the person being interviewed is just like mouth masturbating. Like I was listening to, I'm not going to name names. I was listening to some interview and this one was just like, you know, and so you couldn't go outside to say, water your plants or take a walk. I'm like, we don't need examples of what being outside entails. Like record a comedy special, listen back later if you really want to get off to it.
Right.
That's why the majority of podcasts are terrible.
What? Do you think that most people listen to their own podcast?
They should.
For quality. I listen to this one at least 2 times by the time it's come out all the way
through. You're pausing again.
I was thinking of numbers. That was a thought. I wasn't doing it for dramatic effect.
I listen to it for quality assurance. Also, like especially if I'm interviewing someone or the way I interact with you, I always want it to be fun and upbeat. I never want it to be like I'm talking over someone. So I listen back. It's also fun. We're fun together. We're a fun time letting people know.
I'm glad you don't listen and then text me like, that was bad. We're not good. No, you're you enjoy it, which I enjoy.
At 18:35, I said something really funny. So highlight it. Anyway,
we need to talk about the fact that last week's episode had a question, the man and the stepbrother, that has really got the listeners talking. Everyone is like, we need updates. We need more information. It's like that. Yeah. It is. The story is what it is. As soon as we hear when they've broken up, I will break the news, breaking news on this show. But that was maybe one of the craziest questions we've got. We've gotten. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to last week's
episode. I'm not going to tell you.
No, it's the first question.
If I'm telling this to that guy, he's not Welsh. I think just the boyfriend was. I don't know. If you don't break up with him, you are banned from our podcast because you clearly don't want advice. You just want to tell people you got to break up with that guy. Please go back to, what was last week's episode called? Like a Welsh rare bit?
Out of bounds.
Okay. Well,
I try to be careful in that. The other option was a Welsh betrayal, but I was like, I don't want Welsh in the title name just in case the boyfriend sees it. I don't know. I was like, I don't want this man to get caught. I don't want him to get caught. So I put Welsh betrayal in the text of the description.
Your generation's too sensitive. Oh, I don't want the guy that tricked his boyfriend into sleeping with his stepbrother. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Too diplomatic.
I didn't want him to get caught for writing in.
Oh my God. As if the Welsh guy even listens and as if he's the only Welsh person ever. Let's just answer new questions because your logic is—
All right.
I'm questioning having employed you for so long, if that's your logic. I'm glad you're gone.
Hey, no, you're not.
Dog was drinking my smoothie. Get away from me. Dig it.
Love the pod. Can't wait to see a pic of the tiny baby girl. Here we go.
Me too.
My husband and I hosted Thanksgiving. It was a small gathering that included his mom, sister, and grandma. Grandma is 87 and has limited mobility, so we went above and beyond to make sure that we were set up for her to be comfortable. I asked my husband to set up my nice chair, which I use as a desk chair for her, in the living room. She raved about this chair all night. Fast forward to dinner. My seat was next to her, and when I went to set down my plate, she said, "That's a lot of food on your plate. Do you always eat that much?" I completely ignored her comment and didn't even look at her. My husband and his mother heard her saying this. I was kind of hurt my husband didn't stand up for me. Mm. He told me he didn't want to bring attention to her comment, but that he will say something if it happens again. This past summer at a barbecue, I was serving myself a second plate of food and she shouted, "You're eating again?" I know we often give old people a pass, but as someone that has a certain level of trauma from being harassed about my weight throughout my life, mostly by my own father, these comments are triggering. So much so that I've told my husband that I don't have any desire to spend any more time with his grandma and he's totally fine with this. He never liked her that much. Oy. Do you think I'm overreacting? How would you have responded to such comments given that she's an 87-year-old woman? Her comment partly ruined the holiday for me, especially because I really put forth a lot of effort into cooking and creating a cheery ambiance. Side note, I'm really not that big. I'm not skinny by any standards, but I'm in good health.
Look, I don't know what you look like. And we, as we've seen in our society, are not allowed to judge anyone's body for any reason, even if they are fused to a mattress. I think everybody thinks that they're healthy and there's different metrics for that. So that's not for me to judge. Also, I don't know what you look like. And even if I did, I wouldn't say anything. Honestly, at 87, is Nana spry? Like, is she fine otherwise? I'm not trying to be like, well, she's old, it's whatever, which is what you were talking about. But I could see my mom saying something like that to me or someone. It's insensitive, but she doesn't know that you have trauma, as you say, associated with it. It is just a comment. And if you've worked through it, sure, it can be triggering, but you know, maybe you can, I would just brush it off and be like, well, I'm eating it. You know, it's not like she's harassing you. And it doesn't sound like the kind of feedback that if you gave it to her, she would rectify it for next time. So you have to make a decision about how you feel. And this thing about like, I just don't want to see that grandma. All right, so you see her once a year. And she tells you you loaded up too much on the plate. I do think people, and this is not necessarily you, and people are going to hate that I'm saying this. I do think people a lot of times allow a trauma to dictate their life. And so now no one can say anything. I remember I have a friend who is very thin, and it's because, not anorexic thing, but she's a thin girl that's tall. And I always thought of her as just like an in-shape runner. And it's because she is that I said this. We went to like get frozen yogurt. And I was like, get it, big girl. Because it was like a lot of yogurt. Because I was getting, she was like, that is really hurtful. I used to be really heavy. And you're like, oh my God, like I would never make fun of you if you were heavy. I said it because you're the opposite of that. Nana's just being Nana. Personally, I think if we all walked around setting our boundaries with everything, everyone's going to be too afraid to talk to people. And what Nana will take away from that is like, okay, I guess I just won't talk to Susan. I personally think you let it go. It's not like she was like, what's up, kid who got molested? Pass the turkey.
I think the advice that you've given in the past is really good, which is to just be like, why would you say that? Why do you care how much food I'm eating? Just like to turn it on her, like very calmly. And you might not be calm in that moment because it does hurt your feelings. And I understand that. And I think, or if you really want to just be like, that actually hurts my feelings when you say stuff like that. And maybe she'll go too bad. And maybe she'll go, oh, and not say anything like that again. I mean, if you've never said anything to her about it, I think it's worth it to say it once. And if she keeps doing it, it's like, well, don't have grandma over anymore.
Counterpoint, you had like half the turkey on your plate and you're like, I'm loading up for the winter. I mean, I definitely don't have a weight problem, but my mom will, like, my mom eats so much, so little, and she'll be like, stop eating, have an apple. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm twice your size. Like, I need to eat or you're going to lose a limb. So I don't know. This is a decision you make about how you want to control it. And I don't know that not seeing Nana and your husband being like, I was never crazy about her. Jesus Christ, this lady has nowhere to go for the holidays. Is she a bitch normally? I think
it's that she was at the barbecue. Yeah. Just, about food. She is.
Well, that was just one sentence. Was she fine otherwise? You know,
maybe, or maybe she doesn't interact. She's just silent until she's like the food police.
You got to make a choice. You got to decide you're going to suffer silently, which is the Jewish choice. Or you're going to say something, which is also the Jewish choice, which Jewish choice we, and don't name this episode the Jewish choice. Cause it's going to sound like a Sophie's choice thing.
I would never.
Yeah, you would. You would.
I would never because I'm not positive when I'm allowed to, like Jewish is fine, but Jew feels bad when I say it. So I don't know. I try to avoid it.
Also, I got to say this. I don't need to be wished a happy Hanukkah. I am not delicate about religion. I don't celebrate. I don't have children. It's more of it. Hanukkah is the celebration of a military victory, as are a lot of Jewish holidays, but it's not like Christmas to us. And they only stuck it here because, I mean, Hanukkah came first, but they're only together for commercial purposes. It doesn't warm my heart. It's not like a Jewish New Year. You don't need to wish me a happy Hanukkah. People who don't know Jews are like, and a happy Hanukkah to you. I'm like, I'm not spinning a dreidel, frying latkes, lighting a candle. Like, I'm good. I'm okay.
I really thought to myself the other day, I was like, I should wish Eliza a happy Hanukkah. And I was like, no, I'm not going to text her that. I'm going to talk to her in a day. Like, it's fine.
You want to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas. I'm fine with that. It's not. Yeah. It's really more for the children. No one's giving me a present every night. Got this lukewarm smoothie. Anyway.
That was brought right to you while you sit on a beanbag chair. That's a gift right there.
I'm 8 months pregnant and it is it is not impossible, but it is not easy to get up. But I'm okay.
Yeah, you're really sunk down in there. I don't know how this is going to go for you.
I'll be fine. Broadcasting okay. Live from the center of this love sack.
Kick it. It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. And they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable. And it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute. And when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza. Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello, bonjour, to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Anonymous, how do I help my best friend in her controlling, emotionally, and mentally abusive marriage when she's married to my brother?
Oh, no.
Context. I inadvertently set them up 10 plus years ago. However, early in their relationship, he was being a super dick to her and refused to commit for a very long time. Ultimately, I told her to leave and quit putting up with this shitty behavior. She deserves so much better. But she stuck it through and they seemed to be super happy. Eventually got pregnant, had my nephew, got married. Fast forward to a few months ago, I went back to my hometown where they live and stayed with them for a few nights. It was then that I caught wind of how demanding and emotionally abusive he was. At one point, he even blew up at me, which was very odd and uncomfortable. Then a month or so ago, I get a call from her and she's beside herself. She told me some very concerning things about his behavior and their dynamic. I'm honestly shocked. I told my mom and she's at a loss as what to do.
Are you
shocked? Well, he's always had a temper and anger problems, but I had no idea he treated her this way. Quite frankly, we're all a bit scared to confront him. I want to fly my BFF and nephew out to see me, all expenses paid, but she's too afraid he'll be mad. What do I do? I'm worried for my friend and want nothing to do with my brother at this point. How do I help her? Much love to you all.
God, I don't know. That's so above my pay grade because that's like, is he hitting her? I don't know much about this stuff. I know that I have no problem telling my own sibling when he's being a big penis. That's tough because it's a marital dynamic. It's something that she probably signed up for stupidly, but now probably feels a little trapped. That's tough. I mean, all you can do is offer support to her. You know, are you the kind of woman that would blow up at your brother in front of her and she would feel protected and vindicated? That's tough, you know, because he sounds super abusive.
Yeah.
I can't advise that. I don't know her financial situation. I don't know her kid situation. You know, maybe just provide a way for your friend to vent. Tianfu, if you're going to give you reindeer horn, you can't throw it everywhere. It's too big for her. She loves it though. That's my answer. I mean, that's so fucking weird. Oh my God. Come here.
Having a good time.
You can have it here. I mean, right? People, you guys write in with very serious stuff. I'm not like a counselor. But it seems to me like all you can do is let her vent and you can call you can't get in the middle because you're going to call your brother and he's going to be like, quit being such a bitch, Cynthia. And he's going to hang up on you, Cynthia.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're saying you want to fly her out to spend time with her and that you're worried he'll be mad. He'll be mad that she's coming to see his sister.
Super
I mean,
weird.
Fly her out, get her out of that situation and see how he reacts. And then you can be like, hey man, you're being nutso.
Yeah, something's going on. She sounds like she's about to get into like a domestic situation. So I don't know. That's really scary. And that is, she's going to have to take those first steps though.
Yeah.
You can't do it for her. Ladies, no. You cannot live people's lives for them. They got to advocate for themselves and then you can support them. But it can't be you leading that charge.
No.
I guess. I don't know. Kick it.
Christmas party love triangle. Hi, Eliza plus yes. team. I'm 27 female and need help with a Christmas party situation. Every year, the family of one of my best friends hosts a large Christmas party at their house. It's a big okay. deal. Lots of food, lots of friends. And I've been going since I can remember. I've been dating someone for the last 8 months, Chris, and had an expectation that I would bring him. Mm. Here's where it gets triangle-y. My ex-boyfriend will be there. We had a tumultuous relationship, but I've never recovered from him, so much so that early in my current relationship, I slept with him. Understandably, Chris didn't take that well. I haven't told Chris that my ex will be there, and I also haven't even told Chris about the party. We've had some ups and downs, and ultimately, I haven't felt like he will be my life partner, and I've been thinking about breaking up with him. I just have no idea how to proceed. There are too many variables. Help. Love you all. XJ.
Super simple. You attend sans Chris. Hey, it's a family thing. I was invited. They said I couldn't have a plus one, or don't even say anything. Be like, I'm just going to pop into this. I'll see you after. You are rearranging your life for temporary comfort for a relationship you don't even care about. I wonder if you would bring Chris if the ex wasn't going to be there. And I think that you would. There's no reason to create an uncomfortable situation. Chris will be upset if and when he finds out your ex was there. And he'll be like, you didn't want me to go. What I think you need to do is break up with this current guy. I know that it's Christmas, but like, it's a party and it's the holidays. You should not have to think about it. If you love this guy, you bring him. The ex gets over it. You always want to be respectful to the person you're with of like, hey, this dude I slept with is going to be at this party. So you don't make a cuck out of him. Okay. So break up with the guy and go to the party, get a little drunk, make out with Chris, have the best party ever. Make out with the ex, but you got to break up with Chris because you got to break up with him. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Even if it's a Christmas cake.
You're like, I don't see a future with him. Also, I lied to him. Also, yeah. I don't want him to be there when I go see the ex that I slept with. Also, like, you don't like him. Let him go.
Think about how you would feel if you were dating some dude and he cheated on you and his ex-girlfriend was going to be there. Like, this is garbage. Get rid of this guy. Do it now so he has the holidays to distract him. Do it now while it's early December.
Yeah. Hi, Eliza, Emily, Tianfu, and baby girl on the way. Could you she advise wait, by the me way, on a...
I'm sorry. She's like, that's not what I wanted to hear. She wants to hear, like, bring both. See if they want to have a threesome. Buy the Kringle cake.
Kringle cake?
We're giving you the advice no one's going to give you.
Or that everyone in your life is giving you and you thought you could get different advice here. No, we're agreeing with everyone.
I don't know why you thought you'd come here. Welcome to the Shark Tank. Welcome to Shark Tank. Your valuation's too high on your relationship. You're a cockroach. You're going to zero. I love that show.
Do they call them cockroaches on the show?
Mr. Wonderful does it. A man who's gotten us to call him Mr. Wonderful. That's how persuasive men can be. Yeah. He's like, you're a cockroach. What?
What's his real name?
Kevin Federline.
What's up, Kevin Federline?
It's Kevin. It's Kevin O'Leary.
Okay. Hi, Eliza, Emily, Chanfu, baby girl on the way. Could you advise me on a phasing out friend situation? Yes.
Of course.
Context. I'm a 32-year-old female, happily married. In college, I had a Do you think this is the podcast where they use the word female is used the most without us being incels?
It's the that or like like a rapper podcast, because rappers describe women as female. And I think people do it just to be like, just so you're clear, female. No one's saying woman.
Okay. I think it's because we originally, I feel like it just is a trend that has carried on from just us being like, what are you? Who are you? What do you like?
We need contact. But why doesn't anyone say girl?
Sometimes they do. So this is a 32-year-old female, happily married. In college, I had a close group of four other female friends. We did everything together and I considered them my closest friends for the longest time. We were also roommates during college.
Okay.
After graduating, I moved to South America, studied Spanish in undergrad, and it became my home the past 10 years and met my husband there. She's like, I was far away.
I still don't speak it, but oh well. Bueno.
But it's been good. Even though I was far away, I wanted to maintain my friendships with these girls. I even traveled back home for two of their weddings, costing me over $1,000 for just a plane ticket. But over time, it felt like they really didn't care about my life abroad. Mm. They never tried to visit me, and gradually I talked to them less and less. It really hit me how much our friendship was non-existent when I got married this past year and had a small, beautiful destination wedding in Italy. I didn't expect them to go because going to a destination wedding is a lot to ask.
Yeah.
I just expected support from them, maybe some questions about the planning. They basically only sent me messages on the day of saying congrats. Now I've moved back to the U.S. for work in the past couple months, and I thought they might try to reach out again since we're in the same country, but it's been minimal. Sometimes I wonder if it's just because I'm the ugliest friend of the group and I'm being phased out, LOL.
Oh my God, that's so harsh. At least At least you know you're ugly.
My question is, I'd like not to care or let it bother me, especially since I made other great friends abroad, but it has really hurt me over the years. We have a group chat, which is a constant reminder of this, where they just send pictures of their children, basically. I don't want to cause any drama, but don't know how I can stop caring about this and how to avoid the reminders. Any advice is welcome, and so sorry this is so long. Okay, hold on. You think it's because you're the ugly friend? Are you the only friend without children?
Ooh.
That could be a big factor. You're saying the text thread is just pics of their kids and you don't feel connected?
Yeah, you know, I you'd have to be pretty ugly and for this to really affect it. And also, hot friends need the ugly friend. But this is not about your looks, unfortunately.
No, you might be the hot friend.
Yeah, you might be so hot that you're weird looking in person. You know how some models are weird looking in person and you take a picture like, ah, stunning.
Or so hot they don't want to be friends with you.
That's probably what it is. I think we've answered it. You're so hot that nobody wants me. That's how I always feel. I'm like, is it because I'm too good looking? Is it because I'm too in shape? Emily, that's a great call. And it probably is not personal as much as like those are just busy moms and that's what they're connecting on. I mean, just being pregnant, I found that I'm like caring less and less about my friends who are just going out because even when I got married, I was like, okay, well, that's not my life. Everybody moves through stuff. You're hurt and you're hurt from a long time ago with them. The hard part is that I don't think it's personal. I think people are just kind of selfish and busy with their lives. And the fact that you move back to the country, I mean, the U.S. is a big country, so it's not like you're close. You always have to take stock of your relationships. Is it reciprocatory? Are you putting in more than you're getting out? I'd be interested to know about the kid question. I also think there's nothing wrong. I mean, are you answering these texts and everything you say, like no one's responding? You're like, I have a funny story. They're like, anyways, Brenton's got to go to preschool. I don't think there's anything wrong with just opting out of the group text. And if someone texts you, you're like, what happened? You'd be like, I didn't realize. You can always lie. But just, I bet you if you did, no one would say anything.
Yeah,
I think they're just in different places. And I think you just, it's not personal. I had something similar. Everybody kind of went their separate ways. And like years later, I talked to like one of them. But like, I think you're just very hurt and you need to let that go with some sort of grace.
Yeah. As much as you have wanted to stay in contact from a different country, like it's really hard to do that. It's easy to do that.
It's also boring. It's boring. Like only your mother wants to hear about your day to day. Like I can see people like, how is Europe? Like nobody really wants details about your trip or your life, especially in a group context, especially if you're not leading the same kind of life. So it might just be different paths. Don't take it personally. And you can always secretly like think that they were bitches and you move on. And then you become super successful in, I don't know, say stand-up comedy. And you're like, sorry, guys. Sorry, you guys weren't cooler.
Hey, Eliza and crew. Have you ever had to deal with stage fright? If so, what have you done to deal with it?
No. Next question.
For context, I was asked to play a solo guitar piece during one of my church classes for about 50 people. Before this, I'd only played for a handful of people in a more casual setting. Despite practicing for weeks, enrolling the help of my guitar teacher, and feeling confident with the piece, I still got shaky legs and hands as soon as I started to play, making it nearly impossible to play correctly. I stumbled through the piece, making a mistake in about every measure. As soon as I was done, I was so embarrassed. I packed up my shit and got the hell out of there. But one person caught me on the way out and told me the guitar could be hard, which reinforced that I did sound as bad as I thought. And I wasn't just being hard on myself. Any tips for overcoming stage fright, or should I just forget performing in public and stick to performing in my living room?
Wait, is nobody asking you to perform again? Then who cares? Are you thinking of performing again?
I guess it's she wants to be, like, if they asked her again, I think she'd want to be able to do it with a little less fear.
Look, the good news is you did a really bad job and you didn't kill yourself, right? You didn't die, which just shows to Goya, like, nothing that bad is going to happen. And it is one of those things where, like, practice won't make perfect, but it will make it less scary. Now, there are people who perform and they always get nervous, you know, or anxious, but the more you do it, the more fear you remove from it, because you keep showing yourself, like, even if I mess up, like, I'm still here. People are so afraid of public speaking, but, like, when's the last time someone spoke publicly and, like, they were mobbed? I'm sure it happens all day in the US, or shot or something, but nothing bad's happening. And if you're really bad, like, people aren't going to tell you. Like, there are so many comics who are punishable and nobody's going to take the time and respect to be like, hey, dude, these premises are really hacky. You're really bad. You suck the energy out of the room. They'll just be like, hey, nice set. Next. Like, nobody cares. So it's up to you. Nobody's going to force you to perform. So is it something within, are you going to succumb to this? Or are you going to move past it? Are you going to grow as an artist, or are you going to stay small? It's like one time I almost fell off a horse and they did make me get back on the horse. And I'll tell you what, it did nothing. I really don't like riding horses, but I was happy I got back on the horse. So I would go do another one just to prove to yourself. You're constantly having to prove to yourself that you're going to be okay. Or you're terrible and you're hurting everyone.
I mean, you'd have to be pretty bad. Practice more. If you're in a guitar class, you're like learning. You're going to make mistakes. You got nervous. It's not a big deal. They thought they were being nice by saying it was hard, but I get how it's like when you think something was bad and then someone else confirms it, you're like, what? It was?
Yeah, that's always awful. Like, sometimes I'll say something to be self-effacing. I'll be like, oh, rough crowd. They'll be like, yeah, they weren't great. I'm like, no, you're supposed to say, no, Eliza, you're brilliant. It was them. Or maybe not performing yet. Maybe get a little bit better. It's totally up to you. It just depends on what you actually want. But don't let them scare you. Nobody cares. Nobody's like still talking about that. You're fine.
Yeah.
There are people dying and you're writing about guitar. SMH. Whatever.
Did you just learn that?
No, my brother said it to me about 7 years ago and I didn't know what it meant. And he just kept saying it and it drove me crazy. And then I found out. Now I know.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable, silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Hi, Eliza. Finally, I have a question for you. I started a new job this year and it is a dream job for my career. I work from home in healthcare, as do the others in my department, so we do not really know each other. Since I've been here, there have been 2 mass emails requesting money for gifts for the hourly employees, not much more than minimum wage, and our 2 bosses. One instance was for our healthcare week and this time for Christmas. Since I just started, I am hesitant to make waves, but I'm annoyed for 2 reasons. Number 1, we are getting a large dollar amount gift card for our 2 bosses, more than the hourly employee gift. Trying to keep it vague, but the gift cards are more than $200 each, and the hourly employees are getting less than $15 each. We are not being asked if we want to contribute beforehand. This person is committing to a monetary amount and then telling everyone what they owe. I've been told this happens about 3 times a year. Should I bring this up to anyone or just keep my head down and pay the money to avoid making enemies? P.S. My friend at work and I are having a wager. I'm submitting the question to you, and she's submitting to one of her favorite pods, so no pressure, but you're involuntarily in this competition now.
Ew, you're doing to me what they're doing to you, only mine's with advice and yours with a dollar amount. And go watch the episode of Friends where Ross doesn't want to give money to the janitor that he doesn't know.
But that is so different than like them being like, let's give your boss who makes more than you a bunch of money. That's crazy.
I agree with what Emily said. You should roast Emily.
Me?
Look, and you're saying you just started?
Recently, yeah. So it's like...
And you make an hourly wage?
No. So this person, it sounds like, is on salary, but they give a little Christmas gift to the hourly employees that's like a $10 to $15 gift card to each of those employees. And then they give their bosses a $200+ gift card. So basically the person's like, we're buying $500 in gift cards. Everyone owes $50
okay,
or whatever.
I hear that. Since you are an employee that makes more money, you have a bit more of a podium to stand on, to speak, from which to speak, because you're standing up for the little guys. I think what bothers you is being told that you owe a dollar amount that you didn't agree to. That's the real issue. But if you want to cover that, and by the way, if you make enough money, just cough it up. But maybe you don't. You can stand up and, you know, sort of Robin Hood this and just be like, why are we giving them less and giving our bosses so much? Here's the thing. Like, if it's weird to give someone a gift for like a nominal fee. You don't want to give your boss like a $10 gift card.
It's the problem is it's two separate issues. One, that the bosses are getting so much more. Two, that you're being committed to giving gifts to anyone at all, whether it's hourly or bosses.
Because we've had that question on the pod where someone's like, I'd rather just do my own thing. And it's like, okay, well, this was a team thing. So I think you have to figure out, before I can give you advice, you have to really figure out what part is the part that bothers you.
Right. If it was just, hey, we're giving gift cards to the hourly employees, you know, could you contribute X number of dollars? But I think it's just so inappropriate that the company is like, we're giving gifts, but the company isn't paying it. The bosses should be buying all the hourly employees these $10 gift cards. That's what should be happening.
Also,
and the fact that they're using your money is just, it's just so inappropriate. But it is one of those things that it's like, maybe you just do it to get along.
You know, or a lot of people feel the way you feel. And like, you can be like, six of us don't want to do it. Also, the point of giving a gift is to be like, I thought of you. This is special. Your boss getting a $200 Jimmy John's gift card, he's going to be like, thanks. I just think people, especially in America, like we miss the purpose of giving a gift. It's not just to get something. I mean, you want to watch people, what a post-apocalyptic situation is going to look like, go to an airport or watch a Black Friday surveillance tape. Like, people forget that this is about feeling good, even if it's a handwritten note or something. So I personally, if I really like my boss, I'd be like, I actually make fudge every year. Like, I don't want to, if it isn't about the dollar amount, and you don't have to be uncomfortable saying it is, I don't know your finances. Ask around. See if there's any other dissonance in your camp.
Yeah, so you have your coworker that clearly agrees with you who is writing into another rival podcast.
Asshole.
our enemy. But so there's two of you at least.
I don't know what podcast they're writing into, by the way, but I don't like
I don't
that
either.
You both don't listen.
I do wonder if it's like... It's so hard because I don't know which issue I want to fight more, because I want to fight, hey, the $200 that goes to the bosses, the $400 should be split up among the hourly employees. But I also want to fight, we shouldn't have to give them anything. The company should pay them. It's so maddening. Ugh.
Yeah, something's weird about that. And I think the person organizing is probably a little power hungry. I think you need to decide what bothers you and move on from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to look cheap, but it is also like, okay, so I'm giving $50. So this asshole can get his Lexus waxed, can get his leased Mazda waxed. Like, what are you asking me?
I It's a gift card for Lexus waxing only.
Just half a waxing is only $50.
And a wax is like $175, and you just have $25 you can never use.
Yeah, you want to make sure there's no hair left on that Lexus.
Hi, Liza, Emily. Sweet, sweet Tianfu. I, 31, female, am contemplating a big move and would love to hear your thoughts. In the last 2+ years, I've gone through some major life changes, a bad breakup, a move back home, losing my job due to COVID, and just 2021 in general. I've been living in Boston for the last 10-ish years and moved in with family to Connecticut last summer due to everything, with the intent that I'd go back to Boston when life was somewhat normal again. Over time, I was fortunate to find another job with offices across the U.S. and now the opportunity to move to Atlanta. Mm. Other than my family, I have no real attachment to this area, but I'm worried about being somewhere where I know absolutely no one. I've never lived outside New England, and it feels overwhelming but also exciting. While I think I know what I want to do, I'd love your perspectives, knowing that you've both moved away from home to a new city. Do I just bite the bullet and make a change? Are there some pros or cons you can share? Any advice helps.
My life experience in this doesn't matter because I moved when I was like after college and I had college friends and I was moving for an industry. Look, think about where you want to live. Is Atlanta? Does it have to be Atlanta? Can it be somewhere else? You said you have offices across the US. What kind of environment do you want to live in? Have you been to Atlanta? Do you like Southern things? You know, also you'll make friends wherever you go. Maybe you're weird, but I don't know. You'll make friends at work. You'll make friends at your yoga class. You'll make friends with your neighbors. You'll make friends. People, you make friends. You're not going to worry about that. Move to the city, trying to meet new people. Like, you're fine. So think for a second about, you've been living under such weird constraints lately, like this sort of just fighting to survive and doing what you have to do. Think about where you want to be in 5 years. What kind of weather do you like? It gets very hot in Georgia. Are you cool with that? But you're leaving, you're not going to be in Boston. So are you okay with not hearing people fighting all the time? you gotta make some choices based on your preferences, not just your circumstance. How's that sound?
Right. Why would you be moving there? Because there's an office there and you want to go into the office. Where are the other offices located? Would you be moving there to potentially stay there for a decade? Or do you just want to experience something new for a few years? Like, what is it you want out of moving? Because I moved here because it's cheaper to live. And I decided I have friends that own houses and I want to own a house
here.
One day.
There you go.
And my family's here, of course. And my family's here. And I know the area. So I knew, but the reason that I chose, in addition to knowing people, is I want a house one day and I can do that in Atlanta and I couldn't do that in LA. So
also, look, I understand that a lot of people have dire financial straits and don't have access to the same things that other people do. But I think we would all, if we could just get a little bit of air, we'd all do a little bit better and feel less constricted in life. If you could actually ask yourself, like, what do I want? And if you can make a step in that direction, even the tiniest one, it will create a huge effect. So that's, I can't answer that for you, but you sound like a beach gal. You said you're a girl.
The other thing is, you move here, and this is so hard for me. People always say this to me, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to move my stuff again. Moving sucks, but you could move here for a year and then leave. Like, nobody's going to trap you.
Nobody
unless
cares.
It truly becomes Walking Dead zombie time and it's all
which
over, in which case, you want to be here because there's like a military base.
In which case, they do film that show in Atlanta, Walking Dead.
They do.
You could realize your dream of being an extra on The Walking Dead.
I think it might be over.
Okay, I hate to shoot your dreams down. Kick it.
Okay. My husband has gained about 50 to 60 pounds over the last few years, while I have stayed roughly the same weight. This is a woman. I've tried to get him to go on walks with me after work, which most of the time he doesn't want to do. I paid for him to have a gym membership for a year at a gym where one of his good friends went, but he only used it once, maybe twice. He has an active job in construction, but at home is mostly sedentary, and he tends to go lay down in bed right after dinner. He does most of the cooking, but even when I try to do a healthy meal plan, he eats like 2 to 3 portion sizes. I love him and still think he's an attractive man, but I'm not as attracted to him, if that makes sense. I would be lying if I said this hasn't affected our sex life. Am I a terrible person that it bothers me? I feel like women are expected to keep their figure, but it's acceptable for men to gain weight and not take care of themselves.
You're absolutely right. You just got to shut up and take it. No. I don't know the communication you have with your husband, but he knows he has gained weight. and he sounds tired. And laying down right after dinner is so bad for you, like you, for your heartburn, for your digestion. You know, do you have the kind of relationship where you could be like, I'm worried for your health and I want you to be around a long time. I'd like us to get, you know, on a healthier track. Can you take control of cooking? It's okay if he eats 2 to 3 portions of salad. It's okay if, you know, I appreciate that he's hungry. And working out will definitely not suppress your appetite. It will make you hungrier. But I think it might be small changes. But I think broaching the subject to him, like, I want to see you healthier. I've noticed, you know, you're tired. You do this, you do that. If you can't communicate with him, that's a whole other thing. But homeboy knows he's gained weight and he probably feels really helpless and ashamed.
Yeah, the fact that he works a construction job, it's probably pretty physically demanding. And then he's very tired. And it's like, it's very easy to eat a bunch of bad food to try to get that energy back. So you really just have to, I mean, I know you've tried to get him to make healthier meals, to cut portion sizes. You have to figure out what can keep him going. What will make him feel full,
yeah,
while also not being as bad as whatever he's eating? Because if you got to fix the food thing first, because it sounds like that's a big problem.
The food thing first. Like I was going to say, like, what keeps your energy up throughout the day versus like eating 2 to 3, whatever, chicken McNugget sandwiches or something. There is food that fuels you. So maybe taking a diet really is the biggest part of it. And men lose weight easier than women, unfortunately. So, you know, maybe look into that, but I would start by having an honest conversation with him.
Yeah. And yeah. Then, I mean, the fact that he won't go on walks.
Yeah. That's something's going on.
Although every day my parents ask me to go on a walk and I only go half the time.
Well, half is better than none. You know, you only just started drinking water recently. Emily can attest to huge life changes.
Huge life changes that have been forced on me. And my parents make food and it's fish and salad. And I'm like, okay, well, this is what's here. I'm not going to go out and get nuggets. Like, that's too much work. I'm going to eat the food that's in front of me. So even if it's taking over the cooking and being like, look, here's what you get. You get a portion. You can have two portions.
All right, take
this,
it easy.
Whatever it is.
Take it easy. Kick it.
Hi, Eliza. I'm a 32-year-old female considering starting a family. I really want to have a baby, but I have been pondering this question. I'd love to hear your perspective on it because I know that environmental activism is important to you. How do you feel about having a baby and raising her knowing that in 10, 20, 30 years, the world is going to be an extremely different place regarding its climate and resources?
Well, I mean, for that matter, your parents shouldn't have had you because it's different. And the resources are different than when you were born. There's always, look, this isn't about the bigger picture. This is about, do you want to have a baby and raise it? And the fact that, like, I'm scared for that too. But the good news is our children will not grow up knowing what a tree is. So they can't miss the tree. There's always reasons. There's always people starving in other countries. There's always war being threatened. Things are always bad. They're pretty bad now. But the weird good news is that there are people spending billions and billions of dollars to try to figure out solutions to not have a kid because of that. I feel like when people say that, it's the message is more like, I really don't want to have a kid. So here's my answer. Not that it's invalid, but that's not a reason, I don't think, to not have a kid. I could understand if you lived in a war-torn country run by the Taliban, you might be like, I don't know if I want my 50% chance of being a girl to be born into this. So, but that's not a reason. Either we will be or we won't be fine, but you're not birthing the kid and they're coming into a water world situation. And even if they were, it's the only situation they would know. A rescue puppy doesn't know it's a rescue puppy. He's living his life.
Yeah, I think the important thing, look, globally, things are bad. Personally, if you have the necessary resources yourself to raise a child, great. You know, that's a factor that you should think about in terms of like the climate, the economy. If you think you will be a good parent and that you have the ability and the, honestly, the financial security, it's emotional, whatever you need, then go for it.
But also, like, raise a good person. Maybe your kid solves everything. Maybe your kid's the one that figures out how to turn plastic into water. You know, raise a non-selfish, good person. The world needs more of those and less people who leave comments about how some woman changed their life because of Bitcoin in a comment section. I'm so grateful to Alexandra. She has truly changed my life. $1,500 later, I'm no longer a piece of shit.
It's such a weird tactic. And I get them too. And it's like, why are they're always name dropping someone else? Like, I love this.
It's always a woman.
Like, why? Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking? Why are you, why is that your tactic?
Melisandre has truly made me more grateful.
You should talk to her if you want financial freedom.
It's just, it's always like a sexy woman who has like a car insurance company. It's just, I'm like, I trust you less.
Yeah. Hi, Eliza, my hero. Emily plus Miss Congeniality Cat. Teeny Cheeny Snow Peach, intermittent guest and future molar enamel ruiner, currently cooking. Long story short, I think my sister sucks. Long story boring, my sister was 18 when I was born. We have different moms, but have always been closer than ever.
What?
We've been the number one there for each other through everything in life. Kids, what? Bad baby dad, building her business, my relationship drama, plus the death of her fiance, her figuring out life since. I'm about to turn 34 and she is 52. Just before the pandemic, she paid for us to go to Africa together and it was amazing. In January 21, her 20-year-old kid said something really shitty in a family group text. And instead of parenting, she attacked and excommunicated everyone without explanation. Months later, she said it triggered a childhood abuse situation, but subsequently excommunicated her BFFs under the ruse of COVID differences. She claims she's been in therapy since, but and hasn't communicated with anyone. There's been no communication with family, and it makes my cancer-surviving mom, 77, who she's really close to, really sad. A month ago, I sent her a short note in the mail telling her our 18-year-old cat died and that mom and myself were worried about her. Last week, she inexplicably cold-called me during a work day. I didn't answer, but texted her right after, saying that after the hurt and abandonment from someone so close, I needed more notice before an interaction. But of course, I wanted to talk to her. No voicemail, no text back. Minutes later, she called my mom, left a teary voicemail about how I was bullying her, and she had left me a voicemail.
There's so much drama packed into literally every character description. Everybody in this has trauma or cancer or died or said something. This is like a soap opera. There's no way. This is too much context, which leads me to believe I need more context. Okay.
Hold on. She left me a voicemail that would set me off. So she wanted my mom to have a heads up because my anger was reminiscent of my father, which she knows triggers my mom. It doesn't. Mom is living her best senior's life, single. Okay. Then sent her a text as well saying she was PTSD triggered, to emotionally target my mom, didn't want to get involved. So.
What?
I sent sister a text telling her that I didn't have a voicemail from her and to leave my mom out of it. I then wrote my mom a reference sheet of the non-emergency police numbers as well as hospital and mental health info
Emily,
for the town my sister lives in.
Stop reading this. This is...
We're wrapping up. She sucks and it's time to distance, right? Do I owe her grace? Thank you. Also, this doesn't have to be a non. She's not smart enough to listen to this fucking gem of a
Jesus
show.
Jesus Christ.
This is Kate Shh 126.
Hey, Kate, you calling that fucking gem of a show sounds real sarcastic, in my opinion. Maybe you gotta work on your approach. I know, but still, fucking gem of a show sounds like on this polished turd. No, I know. Look, this is such a loaded question. You are so angry. Women hate that. Like, no, I'm calm, sweetie. No, you're so angry. You're so hurt. You have one choice. You can either call. Also, this idea like you weren't prepared for her to call you. But she did. And rather than say, hey, I'm at work, I'll call you back, you snipped back at her with basically, you want her to apologize for a lot of stuff. There's a lot of hurt there. I totally get it. I've been in a situation similar and you have a choice. You can either say that you're over it and ignore it. And then when a song comes on, you just lose your shit crying. Or you just call and be like, I would like to resolve this. You either do or you don't. You're probably never going to get the full mea culpa from her. So you can either accept how she is and chat about it or just move on. But you are very angry and you're very hurt. And those are your choices. No one can make that decision for you. I personally choose to just not speak to the person, but that is unhealthy. And you know what? I think there's health in admitting that it's unhealthy. So I am a fully realized woman. In many ways, I've cured myself.
The sister's in her 50s. She's not going to change.
Something's going on.
But I think as much as we're taught now that we should be setting our own boundaries and like you should ask someone like, are you in an emotional place before I unload on you? Like telling your sister, I can't talk because it's too much. I can't handle it right now. We need to schedule a time. You're creating drama because you could have said, I can't talk right now. Let's set a time to talk. So you know she's volatile. Not that she should get away with that, but you kind of, I think, are enjoying this and that you're like, yeah, this is such craziness. Oh, my sister's so crazy. And
yeah, you should just disengage. You're enjoying venting. Look, I've been there. I fully get it. You're enjoying telling the same story to people, bringing in all these juicy elements. But at the end of the day, it's really hurting you. So yeah. I say a face-to-face, and if you can't do face-to-face, a real phone call. But these little jabs like, well, you didn't parent your daughter. Well, you didn't answer properly. Well, you have PTSD. Well, I did this. I've lost track, and this was just your question to me. So you guys got to figure out what you want. But it sounds like you love her, and you're hurt. And so if you come from that place versus here's what you did wrong.
Yeah.
But I think you enjoy. I mean, that was an insane thing to write. If anybody else read that, it'd be like, is this a screenplay for a soap opera?
Yeah, it's a lot going on with you guys.
A lot going on, but I get it. I get it. I've been there. I am there. And still choosing not to talk to that relative. So we will see. And it's, and kick it.
Would love to hear about Eliza's financial tips and tricks. I know her dad is an investment advisor. Did any of that rub off? So many women don't invest or talk about money. So look, I think this is an interesting question because no, you're not going to give someone investment advice.
I legally cannot do that.
You legally cannot. But I think it's true that women don't talk about money as much or investment or whatever. And I think as much as I fully don't understand crypto, et cetera, I see a lot more women posting about that and posting about like the AMC, not the women that are like spam bots, but like, or AMC stocks or whatever, kind of like.
AMC stock is huge right now, which is so crazy because you're like, does someone own them? Because no one's going to the movies. So, and the person I learned that from was my mother, who's like really into stocks. My father is no longer a financial planner. He's like partially retired. Now he instructs tennis because he loves it. And none of it rubbed off on me because anytime he wanted to tell me something, I was like, I don't want to do this. That being said, get a financial planner, a financial advisor, and that person is paid to invest your money properly and sit down and explain stuff to you. And the more money you have, the more patient they're going to be. You can buy very low risk, high yield stocks and bonds. So that's when we're talking, a couple $100s, this doesn't have to be like Wolf of Wall Street. There are ways to do it safely, super conservative investments. You want to set up something called a SEP, which is where you can contribute money to it every year. It's like a fund and you don't have to pay taxes on that money. And you don't touch it till you're like 50 and then you're allowed to take out money at a certain time, whatever. But that's a great way to hold your money. And a lot of people have a Roth IRA. So the investing is more about setting yourself up for the future for a rainy day versus now. Talk to a real financial planner. And they will explain everything to you. There's a way to do this where you make a little bit of money, maybe you get lucky, but you're not going to lose anything major.
Yes. Talk to someone because no one is looking out for you but you. And as the environmental question asks, the ability to retire, et cetera, is going to change so drastically. Like, we're never going to be able to retire. Everything's awful. You have to look out for yourself in the future. Talk to someone about setting yourself up with money that you will not touch for 50 years. Like, that is the key. That's not sexy.
It's not fun. It's the advice I just gave. And Emily's just repeating it because she doesn't have her own advice. So next question.
It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, and they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute, and when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Top of the cop.
It's the top of the cop. We're doing it right. every day. You just take a bite, top of the cob.
Okay, my top of the cob is I won a 2009 Honda Civic Hybrid on Last Comic Standing, so 400 years ago. And today, because I have a baby coming, I got a new car. Weirdly, it was mostly joyless because it was a utilitarian purchase. It is a brand new car. And I was able to get one in a pandemic, so that's cool. I for sure don't feel any guilt about this. If anyone deserves a new car, it's me. No one, even semi-famous, you know, has driven a car that long simply because I love it. What?
Did it fit in the garage?
Yeah, barely. The guy who was like helping me was like directing me. I was like, there's no fucking way I'm letting you direct me. If I hit this thing, brand new car. So, and I don't trust the camera. I use my eyes. So in I go. I got a new car. I got a Volvo because I'm beginning my butterfly-like transformation into full mom. And that's my top of the cob. I'm sorry. That's not the top of the cob because I got the car. I didn't even know what color it was. I like picked one. I had like a choice of five. I was like, just not red. And please don't give me a dark interior. It's like I thought it was gray, but it's like a chocolate gray. Whatever. It is a mom color. Not sexy, but it is a beautiful car. So my top of the cob is not that I, because after I got it, I was like, it's not sexy. It's not like, ooh, I got this Mercedes, I got a Bugatti. Not that I would agree with that. My top of the car is that prior to acquiring this car, I donated my car to a friend.
Yes.
I promised her she could have it. So I feel good that I was able to do that for a friend because I take really good care of my Honda Civic Hybrid. It's a great car.
Oh, your car is in great shape. It is practically like brand new. You keep today up to date on all the like things it needs fixed. It's very clean. It's a great car.
The CD player works so well. But wait, so you saying that is what brings up my bottom of the cob. So they go together.
Okay.
My bottom of the cob is the car broker was like, what kind of car do you have? And I was like, a 99 hybrid. He's like, how many miles? I was like, I have no idea. And it's not that many. He was like, how many miles?
You said 99. It's a 2009.
I'm sorry, 2009, whatever. And he was like, you can get a lot of money for that. And I was like, really? He was like, let me take a look at it. I'll tell you. And I said, no. Because Noah was like, it's better to not know. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I thought I would get like a couple grand and it's so much more. So my bottom of the cob is like, I could have gotten so much money for this car that was basically free, but I had already promised it to this friend who needed it. So I'm just going to have to swallow that because I can't go back on my word, even though she would understand if I did.
It's good karma. Like the person driving it is going to be very safe in that car.
I guess.
You know.
I don't know. I'm choosing to not find out how much I could have gotten. Because at the end of the day, at the end of your life, hopefully you've done well enough that $5,000 to $8,000 wouldn't have made a difference, but it always does. That's a gold chain for Tianfu. That's 1 year of private clay lessons for your kid in LA. That's 1 year of art lessons.
I think you're going to be okay.
I'm fine. Anyways, friend better be cool to me forever.
My top of the cob is I got my vibrating can, my hurricane in a can that I bid on. It's a promotional.
Emily, that's not a can. Vibrating. Tell everyone what that is.
It's a can.
It's just a giant vibrator. You're like, I mean, it's from.
If I pulled it out. No, it's a vibrating can, hurricane in a can meant to promote the 1999 film Forces of Nature. I got it from an A24 auction that I was watching like a hawk and it arrived and I was so excited. I couldn't believe it actually worked because it's something with a battery compartment from 10 plus years ago, but it works perfectly. And now it sits on my desk in a place of honor. And my bottom of the cob is that when I was on support about my laptop yet again, I was on a call with HP support and the man starts trying to sell me, as he has not fixed the problem with my under a year old computer, he starts trying to sell me a 3-year warranty that's $200. And I say, I can't do that. I am currently unemployed. So, you know, I can't buy that. And he goes, okay, well, good luck. I was like, ew. Excuse me? And he goes, well, I guess I can get you. I can get you 30% off. Or so, but it's $140. Can you manage that? And I was like, no, I'm unemployed. I can't buy a warranty for a computer that is currently broken that you have not fixed. Yeah. And he goes, okay.
You think it's in the script to like do a laugh and put the customer at ease?
I don't know. It did feel like he was, it was such a malicious, evil little laugh that I could only think that there was a barrier and he didn't understand what I had said. Yeah. Because it was such an evil little laugh that I was like, I was shocked and I was sitting there like, no, I can't. And he's like, well, we're going to run out of these because everyone is loving their HP products so much that they're all asking for warranties and we're running out of warranties. And I was like, tactic. I'll take that chance.
Yeah.
On my broken. Laughed at.
That is also, you're like, I'm like, oh, shocker. Like a dude who works in like lower level tech management laughed at a woman. Weird. They're usually so secure.
It was so strange. And after an hour on the phone, I thought he fixed it, but he didn't, and it's still broken. So I need to talk. I think I'm going to have my dad call and fight someone for me because I'm not getting any respect. And he's in IT, and he can say computer words.
Just have your dad fix it.
He tried. It's something that hardware needs to be replaced. They need to take it back and replace the hardware.
I guarantee you that company doesn't even exist anymore, and you're just going to get a phone tree, and you need to own up to the fact that you basically bought a lemon. You bought a lemonade stand, and you just need to get a Mac and pay it off little by little over the next 30 years.
Never.
All right. Well, you enjoy your hurricane in a can as the only working electronic in your home.
It really is.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, man, you got screwed out of computer. I got screwed out of a nice chunk of change for being a good person, which will not pay off ever. There's no such thing as karma. Even though there's an app called Karma that I think is about cars. Isn't it? Or Klarna. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's like the Swedish credit card.
I think there's a Karma app.
Credit Karma. You guys want to sponsor this podcast?